this, recalling, I think Dave Wegman brought this up or mentioned it somewhat recently about when Jim was, I don't know if he was at Farley or where he was, but I think at Farley, and he decided it would be quite humorous to send some kind of termination letters to Wayne Thurm and Quirky. And he persuaded one of the secretaries to do this.
Oh, dear.
You remember that?
I don't remember that. I wonder if he was at the high school.
Might have been at the high school, but the reaction was that, you know, they got to Wayne right away, and Wayne got to the bottom of it pretty quick.
Well, Jim, I remember when he was at Epworth in the portals, he was teaching junior high, and I think I had six portable classrooms behind the high school. We had one section of first through sixth because we had grown so much and we didn't have rooms. So I had that. That was another school there. And but anyway, Jim was, he wanted those kids to shape up, and he had a little problem with some kids. So we held the whole class after school, which was a violation of all of Buck's rules as far as getting kids on the bus now. And the buses took off without leaving 25 or 30 kids.
Oh, my God.
And that didn't go over well. And then when we were at Farley, I believe in intramurals, so I had kind of a longer lunch period. And so we could get some intramurals in and whatever. So, like I said, we had a few hooligans that first year. So Jim was teaching seventh grade science, so he kind of became the enforcer. And we would have this detention thing during the noon hour, so you couldn't play intramurals. If you got trouble, you'd have to go to Jim's room. And he would lay the law down for him. But that worked pretty good, except for when somebody poisoned all his fish in his aquarium. We never did find out the guy that did that, or the girl.
I never heard that one.
Yeah. He was not happy about that. And, he was... Of course, we all... He was around a lot of different jobs.
Yeah.
And he went from our school, then he went to the high school as assistant, and then, of course, to Cascade.
Yeah.
He laid a real legacy down there for Cascade High School.
He went down there and got the job done.
That's, yes, he did.
Basically what happened. And,
In those early days, it was kind of, there was a lot of changes in the Catholic schools must have been having a lot of troubles in the 70s. I don't know, money wise, or I don't remember what the economy was, but I remember going down to Cascade St. Mary's, and they did some shared time, and I remember we bought some of their desk, and we had teachers in certain grades, and of course we were at Farley St. Joe's. They sent all their first graders over to us for a while, and then Dyersville was a real hodgepodge. You know, you were principal over there.
Got that started.
The fourth graders and the seventh and eighth graders, and then we had the kindergartens.
Yeah.
But all shared time type of thing. Well, fourth wasn't shared time, it was full time, but just for one grade.
But you talk about having a teachers that had a real cushy situation with those shared time junior high people, because those kids,
noon hour or nothing.
No noon hour. I mean, they came over in the morning, that group left, and there was a lunch period. And so we went to the basement at the Xavier, basilica, and I tell you honestly, I don't think I've ever been fed like that in my life consistently. Those gals just treated us like we were royalty.
I remember I was there for 2 years, and they were very good cooks.
What's her name? Mrs. Huberty, I think, was the chief gal, as I recall. But at any rate, those teachers, six of them, then they go back for the afternoon session. Kids come back on the bus, and that was about as good as you could get it.
Yeah. Is that when you transferred, when they finally closed that up, and you had to transfer to Farley, where there was 55 teachers and a thousand kids and all different ages, and you know, a lot of give and take was necessary. That was a challenge, at least. But, our district has been unique, you know, of course, all the busing and the size of the district. We talked about that before, but you know, like you'll have MFL district or you'll have a BGM district with three towns, and we got like 17 initials. And when I started teaching at the high school, you know, before Cascade started, you know, everybody went to Epworth. So it was that late. I think that was in the mid 70s. I guess Cascade opened in
75.
So, you know, all the kids went to Epworth, and as big as our district, we used to joke about it. I was coaching. Art Lamb lived 7 miles south of Bernard. And then Dave Benner lived over by Sand Springs, which was,
probably
6-7 miles from Worthington. And then you could go up to Balltown. So if a kid would ask a girl out for a date, he lived up north of Balltown. And the girl lived down there by Sand Springs, it'd probably be a 45-mile drive and not a straight road anywhere. And if they wanted to go to a movie in Dubuque, then they got to go drive another 30 miles in and 30 back, and then another 45 miles up to home. My. So Dad would say, well, how come you put 170 miles on that?
Do you remember, when did they have, like, proms and homecoming situations back in the early 60s, or?
We had proms. I don't know if we had homecomings, because football didn't start till
mid-70s.
When was it, about 70, I think, football started?
Early 70s, 73, 74, I think.
Yeah, that's probably when homecoming started. I don't remember any early ones. I remember the spring proms. And, Buck would have an activity banquet for sports in the spring. He usually gets something like, he had Joe Horner 1 year, and Steve Carlton came with him.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, and they went pheasant hunting, and then they talked, or he talked, Joe talked at the, he had Milt Pappas from the Cubs, who, he had a few, he'd try to get some speakers.
Yeah.
We had, actually Ralph Miller, the Iowa coach, spoke 1 year.
1 year, okay.
Basketball coach at Ward Burkhoff
spoke 1 year. Buzz Lubick?
Yeah, it was before Buzz.
Buzz Lubick.
Back in the old days. I forget what his name was. When the high school started, we only had two coaches and only three sports. I think Wayne Drexler actually coached golf for boys. I don't think the girls had golf. There were no girls' sports. And so Buck taught or coached baseball and basketball. Then when Hermie came, he was interested in track, so they did some informal track up on the hill.
Yeah.
And then they started track probably 63 or 64, maybe they did second or third year. Then we knew we were going to start wrestling, in the fall of 65, that's when he hired Sam Kilberg. So Hermie knew some things about wrestling from you and I. I knew nothing. So he'd teach me how to teach the kids. We had a unit on wrestling because we were going to have wrestling next year. And
okay.
So I taught them how to do sit-outs and some other things that are
escapes.
Pretty basic. Yeah. And then Tom Kilberg took my job as a history and physical education teacher.
Okay.
And then I kept coaching for another 3 years, but of course we had no facilities, so at one time we shared half the floor with the wrestling team, and then I think they went up on the stage, and of course we had sophomore, freshman, and varsity basketball teams.
Yeah, that was so just
kind of a mess.
Continued.
Yeah.
But you know, the other thing was I remember is football. We had freshman team, you had a sophomore team, and you had a varsity team. And back then, there was good numbers, and the kids would come in off practice. They'd have all their gear, and you'd have to put it on this frame and hope that it maybe dried, you know, for the next day. Yeah. And there was no place to put this stuff. And finally, there was a room just on the other side of the locker room, which was a small classroom, but it wasn't really used. And I wanted Dave Barr to expand into that. Well, he kept dragging his feet, so I finally convinced Paul Knutson, one Saturday we each got a sledgehammer and came over there and opened that wall up by ourselves. And then Barr was forced to put a doorway in so we could use it, you know, for a locker room or a drying room or whatever. Oh, yeah.
Well, I remember we were talking about Parley St. Joe's and some of that. I remember the November 22nd, 1963, which I'm sure you remember, and you were actually, I think you were coaching St. Joe's then, weren't you? 63,
no, I was
64?
At Bellevue.
Were you at Bellevue, 63, yeah. 64?
Yep.
So anyway, Buck got on that speaker. I taught two history classes, the fifth period and the sixth grade period, I think it was. And so he got on the intercom and told us that the president had been shot in fifth period class. And, you know, that was pretty traumatic for everybody, when nobody really realized, you know, the last guy that was shot was back in the turn of the century. And we figured we were beyond that. And then that was actually, that was the last, no, it wasn't the last class that I taught history to. But, and then the next period he got on and announced that he had died.
And that was a Friday.
Yeah, it was a Friday. And then I remember I was coach. Was that my first year coach? That was my first year as head coach. And so we had practice after school, which was a mistake because everybody was just all over the place. And then I actually went to Farley St. Joe's gym that night.
I was there.
were you playing St. Joe's?
Yes.
It was Bellevue, St. Joe's.
Yep.
And I remember them playing the national anthem and the flag. And I remember scouting.
Well,
the team that night.
I remember struggling to decide what to do. If we were going to have the game, not have the game that evening. And they finally decided that, we'd have the game. So, away we went.
Now, I remember after practice, it was a bad practice, and So I had to stop at the locker plant, Epworth locker plant, to get some hamburger or something. And they had a TV in there. And here they were taking the body of the president off the plane at Bethesda or wherever.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was like at 5:30 at night, and here, just that's how fast things happen.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty hard to comprehend. And, of course, we all remember that day and the next three. And the 4 days.
If you remember all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That class just celebrated their 50th anniversary, I think, reunion. It was last year. They would have graduated in 65.
Okay, yeah.
I think so, yeah. Well, it was last year.
How many were at the reunion?
That's pretty good.
Where was that?
I missed the 65 one. I had the 66 one, which was the last group I taught history to. And that was at the Dyersville.
Okay.
Tom Hancock was in that group. He had passed away. And we had a very, very nice reunion. Al Eid and I rode on the float. So you really get a chance to visit with all the guys and gals ahead of time.
Yeah.
More than you do at the dinner, which was nice. But there were a lot of changes in those early days of Western Buick. It was growing fast.
Oh, and, you're kind of charting your own course in a way, because the amazing thing to be able to put that stuff together when there was nothing there before. And the rush of students once the parochial schools start to close.
Yeah. And Wayne Drexler was a great person to work for. You worked for them too, and Buck was too. I mean, they both would kind of give you a lot of leeway, they let you run your own building, and unless you screwed up, I guess, too bad or something. But
yeah,
they were good to work for.
Okay.